For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. My title this morning is The Spirit's Intercession for the Saints. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of Almighty God endures forever. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come now to your word to be taught, to be fed, to be instructed. We ask, Spirit, that you would lead us into all truth. We know that you will, that you would magnify Jesus in our midst. That Jesus, you would be seen, that you would be heard, that you would be glorified. Lord, we thank you for these words that you inspired the Apostle Paul to write so many years ago, words of hope, words of comfort, words of reassurance, words that give us strength, for they are indeed your words. We ask now that you would open our hearts, that we might receive all that you have for us, in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. One of the high and holy privileges of being a Christian is the privilege of prayer. The privilege of being able to come to our Heavenly Father and to commune with our great triune God. I don't know if you can remember when you first became a Christian, if that happened for you later on in life or when you were older, if you have a particular memory of that, or maybe you've never known a day apart from Jesus Christ and loving him and serving him. But whatever the case may be, when we first are brought into the kingdom, when we are first made alive by the Spirit of God, there is a longing for us to commune with our God, to be in fellowship with him, to know him. I remember as a younger Christian, days where I couldn't wait to get alone and pray. And I had great examples in my life. My father was a man of prayer. His sister, my aunt, was a great woman of prayer. And I grew up around saints in the church who knew how to touch heaven. And whether we exercise this privilege as often as we should, and I know we all feel like that we don't, there is yet a deep longing within us to have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. It is a great privilege to pray. It is a great privilege to be named by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have our sins forgiven. And I say it is a great privilege for the Christian because it's just that. Prayer is the privilege of the Christian. It's the privilege of the child of God. And we have all known seasons, or I would assume that we've all known seasons where we could not get enough time alone with God. It seemed like time just flew by in prayer, and we sensed His presence with us. Those are wonderful times. And I'd be lying to you if I told you that I did not wish that all of the Christian life was just like that. But there are other times, and there are other seasons that come. Times of great difficulty. Times of great trial, tribulation, and temptation. Times where we are burdened with the responsibilities of life, and we are burdened and we are perplexed by the sufferings that we go through. And it's in these times that we often feel like that God has abandoned us. We long for those days where we would go and meet with Him in the secret place, and we would sense the presence of our Savior, and we would commune with great delight with our God. And those days, in the times of suffering and difficulty, are but a memory. There are times in the Christian life that we find ourselves in situations that not only is it difficult to come before the Lord, but it is difficult to even find the words to express the depth of pain and sorrow that we feel. You may be thinking, Paul, I've never experienced that. Well, just keep on living. Just keep on walking with the Lord. It is unfortunate that Christians, in their great zeal to win people, often mislead people and tell them, if you will come to Jesus, your life will be changed. That's true. When we encounter the living Christ, we are forever changed. But in some way, one way or another, the message is communicated, come to Jesus and your problems will be over. That is not true. In many ways, the problems have just begun. Because now you're awake, you're alive spiritually, and there is an enemy that is after your soul. He cannot rob you of your salvation, but he will do everything he can to rob you of your joy. Not only that, but in the mystery of who God is and in his sovereignty, God has ordained us to walk through suffering, through difficulty, and through pain. And even when it comes from the hand of the enemy, God is still sovereign, and he's ordained it. Now, if you're not a Presbyterian this morning, If you listen closely enough, I might convince you, or you may just never come back. You know what I think frustrates the devil the most? Is this. He's not just the devil, he's God's devil. Now, I don't mean that God is the author of evil. But when I say that, I mean that God is sovereign over every creature, over every circumstance, over every situation. And nothing comes to us that is not given to us by the providence of God. Whether that would be providence of joy or a dark providence, it comes from His hand. Suffering is something that we cannot avoid. We will not enter heaven on flowery beds of ease, but we will enter heaven through much tribulation, through much suffering. And it's in these moments of tribulation, and it's in these moments of suffering that we find ourselves wanting to go before God and unburden ourselves with the pain of poor physical health or the loss of employment or the loss of a child or a sin, a besetting sin that we just cannot seem to gain victory over. And in this crucible, in this pressure cooker, we find ourselves at loss for words. We find ourselves trying to pray, and all we can do is sigh, and all we can do is weep, and yes, all we can do is groan. And young people, I can tell you, walk with Jesus long enough and you'll get there. Through my tears at times, all I've been able to pray is, God, you know. Through my tears and through my groaning and through my sighing, all I have been able to pray at times, if even these words would come, is, God, please help me. These situations and times are not new for the church. Paul is writing here in Romans to a church that is in the midst of suffering and persecution. Persecution like you and I have never known in this nation. He is writing to them and he is speaking words of encouragement. I have heard Romans 8 called, I believe it was James Montgomery Boyce, the great preacher and commentator and theologian who called Romans chapter 8 the greatest chapter in the Bible. Now, Dr. Boyce can say that because he was Dr. Boyce. I've heard it called the chapter of the Holy Spirit. And Paul mentions the work of the Spirit throughout this passage. In the first letter, the first part of the chapter, he is talking about the work of the Spirit in sanctifying us and in empowering us to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And then he turns to the subject of future glory. And as he lifts our heads from the spiritual battle and the spiritual warfare, the good fight of faith, which we are engaged in fighting against sin, he lifts our gaze and he says, look up and see what is out before us. There is glory to come. And as we wait for this glory, all of creation, we learn, is waiting with us. And creation groans for the revelation of the sons of God. as a mother in childbirth. And we, Paul says, groan with creation. What are we groaning for? We are groaning for the glorification, for the promise, for the day that all struggle, that all strife, that all trial, that all temptation, that all tribulation will come to an end. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to declare to you today that one day it will come to an end. The war has been won. The battles may rage. The thunder may roll. The lightning may flash. The enemy may come in like a flood. But God will lift up a standard against him. Glory to come, but as we wait for that glory, we groan. Thankfully, not continuously. It comes in seasons. If you're on the mountaintop, enjoy the view. There'll be another valley. If you're in the valley, just wait. There'll be another mountaintop. But it is in the valley of suffering, in the valley of groaning, that Paul says, look up. There is glory to come, and we are the first fruits of the Spirit who groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And it's in this perplexity, it's in this time of groaning that I want to focus the rest of my time. On this mystery of prayer, the prayer of the Spirit, the prayer of the third person of the Holy Trinity, the intercession that he makes for the saints. Paul says in verse 26, likewise there is referring us back to verses 18 through 25, through what I just talked about, creation groaning, and we're groaning, waiting for the glory. Likewise, in our groaning, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now stop right there. What words stand out to you in that verse? I'll tell you, the first one that comes jumping out at me is help. The helper. The comforter. The one Jesus said, when I go away, I will not leave you as orphans, but I must go. It's expedient that I go. It's for your good that I go, that the Father might send the Spirit. The Father, or the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And Jesus said that I might go to the Father, that the Spirit would be poured out. He is the helper. He is the comforter. He is the one, Jesus said, who leads us into all truth. He is the one who helps us in our weakness, in our frailty, in our affliction, in our stumbling, in our falling, in our attempts to pray, yet we lack the words to communicate. We are so grief-stricken, so troubled in soul and spirit that we groan, and the Spirit is there as our helper. He comes alongside. He is there within us to lift us up and bear us on eagle's wings, as it were. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to admit weakness. I'm not the first one to raise my hand. I didn't used to be. The first one to raise my hand when someone would ask, how many feel weak today? You know, the longer I walk with Jesus and the more gray hairs I pick up, easier it is for me to admit that. Now, just because you got gray hair doesn't mean it's easy for you to admit that. But the more you are honest with yourself, the more that the Spirit of God works on you, the closer you draw to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you sense His holiness and His presence, the more you see your own weakness, your own sinfulness, your own brokenness. It's really easy to point out Christians who think they're mature, but they're not as mature as they think they are, because they think they're really strong in and of themselves. And it comes off this way. They've got the answer to every question. They can fix all of your problems with a Bible verse taken out of context and plopped right on your lap. They pray long prayers in public. You know what Spurgeon said about that? Men pray long prayers in public because they pray so little in private. As we mature, as we grow in Christ, we realize just how weak we are, how fragile we are, how fragile this life is. And Paul says that the Spirit is here, is present. That same Spirit which raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And then he goes on to say this, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. In the moments of trials and temptation and struggle, we lack wisdom. We want to pray the will of God. We've read all the books on how to pray. We know the 12 steps, the 5 steps, the 7 steps. We pray prayers of Scripture back to God. But when we are really being pressed, I mean, when we are really under the gun of life's hardest battles, we realize that we lack wisdom. We really don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And oh, I love that. And I have read commentators and I've heard preachers who have tried to get around this as though that it's almost as though they could not bring themselves to say that God, the Holy Spirit, would actually groan on behalf of His people, as though it was beneath God, the Spirit, to do such a thing. But I don't know how you get around it. I've looked at it in the Greek text. I've looked at it in the English text. I've parsed the verbs. And Paul's saying that the Spirit groans in intercession for us. What does that tell me? It tells me this. What does that tell us? It tells us this. That God enters into our suffering with us. As Christ left the glory of heaven, He subjected Himself to a sin-wrecked world, tempted like us in every way, yet without sin. So the Spirit shows His sympathy, His compassion, his mercy by groaning with groans too deep for words. This might seem like a silly illustration, but this is the one I came up with. So here we go. If you've ever done any major weightlifting, you'll get this. You've been on the bench, and you clear the bench, and by the time you get it over your head, you realize, I've made a mistake. I've got way too much weight in the air. You come down, and as you groan and as you struggle under the weight and the pressure, and as you think you're about to lose the weight and crush yourself, and you're going to be crushed under the weight, you are reminded and you've got comfort in knowing that you got a really strong man behind you, much stronger than yourself. And he's got both arms on that, on the weight. And as you groan, you hear him groan a little. That might make you nervous. As you groan, he groans, but you clear that weight. And it was never in doubt. Because this guy is 300 pounds and he's ripped with muscle. Now, that's what my glorified body is going to look like. I've already put in the request. Every illustration breaks down at some point. Mine usually break down quicker. But you get the point. As we are groaning under the weight and the pressure of sickness, of temptation, of difficult family situations, of uncertainty in our future, as we struggle under the pressure and the weight as parents and seeking to live godly lives in a godless world, as we deal with depression, as we deal with anxieties, as we deal with the slings and the arrows that come from the evil one, we groan under that weight. But my friend, it's never in doubt that you're going to be able to clear the bar because the Holy Spirit has you. And as you groan, he empathizes and sympathizes, and your groans and my groans and our attempts at prayer fall short, but his never do. And as his groans go before the throne room of the Father, the one who knows all the hearts and minds of men and women, and who knows the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit knows the mind of the Father and the mind of the Savior, he prays perfect prayers for the saints. So when you feel like I'm less than as a Christian, because my prayer life is not what it ought to be, my friend, just remember that one who indwells you, the one who is sanctifying you, the one who raised you from death unto life, the one who brought regeneration, the one who brought the effectual call, the Spirit of Almighty God who raised Christ from the dead, the Spirit who was poured out upon the disciples at Pentecost, that same Spirit dwells in you. His prayers never fail. They never fall short. His groaning is a perfect groaning. Man, every time I stand to preach, I tell myself I'm not going to get all worked up. But I don't know how you can look at the richness and the depths of what God has done for us in his great love and in his mercy at Calvary, in Christ our Savior, the Prince of Heaven, who took it all. He took all the sin of all the elect for all time. And then he didn't leave us as orphans, but he gave us the Spirit, that same Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed the children of the living God, that Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are his children and that cries within us, Abba, Father. That same Spirit intercedes on our behalf. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what your struggles and trials are this morning. But I want you to know that God's got you covered. God's got you covered in the throne room of heaven. And God's got you covered on the battlefield in life. Or as the great John Murray said, Christ is our intercessor in the court of heaven, while the Holy Spirit is our intercessor in the theater of our hearts. What is our afflictions this morning? What are our afflictions this morning? They are real, they are hard, they are difficult, but they are not to be compared to the glory that awaits those who are called by his name. Do you know this fellowship of the Spirit? Do you know this one who we call Savior? Have you made your calling an election sure? Do you have the assurance that only the Spirit can give? If not, may your groaning begin today, that you might know the intercession of the Spirit, the groaning that are too deep for words, that never fall short of the throne room of heaven. God, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for the saints. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for his presence, for his power. There's so many more things that could be said. So many things that could be proclaimed about this Comforter, this teacher. Lord, may we grow in our desire to understand and to know the ministry of the Spirit. May we know that he has come to glorify your name, Jesus, and that he is working in us to sanctify us and to make us like you. Praise you for this. We thank you for this as we pray in your holy name. Amen.